Hello, and welcome back to the Glossy Week in Review podcast. I'm your host, senior fashion reporter Danny Parisi. And today I have two special guests, our managing editor, Tatiana Pyle, and our audio producer, Sarah Patterson. Hello, guys. Tatiana, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. Sarah, you are on the recording for every episode of this, but we've never heard your voice before, I don't think. But thank you for joining.
Yeah, I'm a secret guest of every podcast. The listeners just don't know.
Yes, Sarah is the person who makes all the episodes good. She's quietly on the Zoom call in the background, making it sound great. But I have the two of you on today because you both attended the WNBA draft earlier this week, correct?
Yes. Yep,
on Monday.
Cool. So we're going to dedicate this whole episode to talking about the WNBA. The draft obviously was huge. March Madness was huge. You guys got to go and talk to a bunch of the players. It feels like the WNBA and women's basketball in general is having like a huge moment. These players, I think, are, you know, more in the public eye than maybe they've ever been before. You got to talk to some of like the biggest people, Caitlin Clark, the commissioner of the WNBA, Kathy Engelbert. So I want to hear a little bit from you guys about what you saw and observed and your thoughts on the WNBA and women's basketball. And then also we're going to listen to some of those interviews you did on the orange carpet. Let's start with just tell me, like, what was the mood like there? I don't know, Tatiana, if you want to go first, how did it feel to be there?
I would say this orange carpet experience for me was probably the best carpet experience I've ever had. The energy was really high. Everyone was so excited to speak with every single player, and the PR, their publicists, the stylists on set, they were extremely accommodating to each and every publication, making sure that we all had an opportunity to speak with every single athlete who was getting drafted, which was really, really nice.
Yeah. Sarah, what did you think?
This is my first red carpet or orange carpet in this way. And so I didn't know what to expect. And yeah, like Tatiana said, I was surprised at how much time everybody gave us. I think it's clear that the league is wanting this attention and wanting all of this coverage. And so I think they were just very accommodating for all the people that were there. I think it was also more publications that are you normally there? I mean, we were crammed in. And I don't know how it's been in the past, but it just felt like they were very happy to have this much coverage this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so we should mention specifically the viewership, I think, for the March for women's basketball March Madness, I think, was higher than men's March Madness NCAA this year. There's like 36 million, I think, total unique viewers of the 2023 WNBA regular season. The combined viewership for the WNBA across all the ESPN networks and CBS and all that was up 21% last year over the year before. So it feels like there's a huge upsurge kind of in viewership right now. I think I've heard kind of anecdotally that women's basketball and women's sports in general have been growing in popularity the last couple of years, but it really felt like 2023 was a huge moment, like a specific kind of spike. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on why this year in particular? Obviously, there's some really buzzy players who we'll talk about in a second, but I don't know. Do you think there's some other element that has made it blow up this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the league has really upped their marketing game. They're making it easier to watch games. And I think when it comes to women's sports, I have a kind of like, if you build it, they will come mentality of it. Of like, if you just make it easy to watch and you talk about it on SportsCenter the same way that you talk about the men's game, people will watch and they'll care because you're just telling them that it's important. So I think for the WNBA season, I know they did a deal with Amazon Prime, so a lot of the games were available on Prime streaming. They aired more on ABC on just like national broadcasting. So I think it was just like it's easy to watch. I went to a lot more games last season in New York, also because it is affordable, which is nice. It's only like $30 or $40 to go to a game in the regular season, which is crazy compared to other sports prices. So I sort of made it a point to go more this year. And I think it just sort of, it's bled into the college side and hopefully it'll bleed into the professional side this summer too.
Yeah, I would just piggyback off of the ease and accommodations at which we could watch it. But also, I think social media has absolutely played a factor in it as well. We're able to see more of the stars as their own in their own rights. Take, for instance, like Angel Reese. She's gone viral on social media multiple times. And as a person who doesn't actively watch the sport, I was still very much so familiar with her. I was familiar with Caitlin Clark and everything they were doing on and off the court. I definitely agree. Like, this year has been the buzziest it's ever been. And people are interested. People want to know a lot more about these women players off the court, which I think is what makes it especially interesting to non-viewers. We know their lives. We know, you know, their politics for colloquialism's, you know, sake. We know their style. We know their deals that they've been able to make. And I know Sarah and I have talked about this on the orange carpet. And I'll allow Sarah to talk more about that part. But the NIL has given them the opportunity to have those buzzy brand deals, you know, be the face of a campaign, which makes them cool. We think they're cool now. So I think that also contributed to the interest.
Yeah, for sure. So NIL is name, image, and likeness, which for the viewers who or the listeners who have not heard of that before, that's basically the right of an athlete, their ability to make money off of their image through sponsorship deals and brand deals outside of their pay from the league, which is an interesting thing because for college athletes, up until I think it was only just the last couple of years, they were not allowed to make any money from brand deal sponsorships. And that rule has very recently changed. And that applies to both men's and women's athletes. So, but there's, you know, so these athletes, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, have huge brand deals, I think, coming. We're going to talk a little bit about Caitlin Clark possibly having a Nike deal, maybe, in the works. But at the same time, you know, the actual pay that they get from the league, Sarah, you were just telling me before the recording, is terribly low compared to the men's side of the sport. I don't know, Sarah, do you want to expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think NIL deals, especially on the women's side, I think are going to be a huge game changer for the league. Like you just alluded to, the salaries that these players make are very small. Very small in the context of sports, not very small in the context of wages across America. But yeah. Caitlin Clark's rookie deal, she will be paid about $75,000 a year for the first 4 years of her contract.
And she is the number one pick at the draft and like maybe like the most exciting, you know, kind of player in the league too. And so that's like the top, and probably a lot of other players will be getting paid even less than that. So
for veteran salaries, I believe the maximum salary that a player can make is roughly $200,000. And that is, you know, if you are a multi-championship winning player who's won MVPs, like that is the most that you can possibly make in this league. Obviously, compared to the men's side, they're making tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. So there's a huge difference. And an issue with that is that you, in a lot of places, cannot comfortably live on $75,000. Mm-hmm. And so these players will take other jobs. A lot of them will go overseas to play basketball in the off season to supplement that income. So they are playing basketball year round, which is hard on their body. Brittany Griner, mm-hmm. if people remember a couple of years ago, she yeah. was arrested and held in a prison in Russia. She was in mm-hmm. Russia because she played there in the off season because she needed to make
right.
more money. Similarly, Breanna Stewart, who plays for the New York Liberty right now, a couple of years ago, she tore her Achilles playing in the offseason mm-hmm. and then wound up missing a whole season in the WNBA. So you're opening these players up to injury, to personal safety issues, because you're not willing to pay them enough money to mm-hmm. live comfortably on a WNBA salary.
And then their careers are shorter. People burn out and leave the league for whatever reason, and just you diffuse the kind of like critical mass of both attention and also like veteran players that's needed for the league to kind of, like we're talking about, break out and become super mainstream.
If you can start making your money in brand deals when you're in college, if you're Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, they have millions of dollars that they've made in brand deals even before they've entered the league. So they won't have to go overseas. They won't have to leave themselves vulnerable to injury. They can spend their offseason marketing the league in the States and help growing it. So I think that's going to be a huge game changer in how well these players are able to play in the season, how long they're able to play, and what marketing they're able to do on the state side of it.
Yeah, right. So we're talking about Caitlin Clark, who, like we said, was the first draft pick. You know, extremely exciting player to watch. I think there's been a lot of buzz around her. You guys got to talk to her on the carpet. Tatiana, what was she like? What did she, I don't know, what was the feeling talking to her?
Yeah, again, like this is coming from a person who doesn't actively watch the sport. So I had no idea what her personality was like prior to our conversation. And I did overhear someone next to me at a different publication when she walked up next to us, they said, oh my God, we've actually never seen her personal style off the court before. So it was really cool to see how she chooses or how she chose to represent herself. And obviously she had full head to toe decked out in luxury brands. She was wearing Prada. And I thought what was really, really cool and interesting throughout our conversation, she shared with us that she was the first person in the NBA or WNBA to ever be dressed by Prada. So instantly my mind is like racing. I'm like, does that mean that she's getting a Prada deal? You know, like what's happening with that?
I think Prada's very like me and who I am. That's kind of my style. Prada's never dressed a WNBA or NBA player for the draft before. So that's fun for myself. But yeah, I feel good. Feel ready. You got a little more businessy, but also fun under here. So yeah.
So coming into this partnership with Prada, tell us about the vibe you were going. What aesthetic were you looking to achieve?
Honestly, like, I think the biggest thing, like, me and my stylist wanted was, like, to push myself a little outside the box, but also something that's still very me. I think this is the best of both worlds with this.
Absolutely. And a lot of times in these spaces, when we look at women in the NBA, we don't really get to see your personal style, your beauty. You know, what impact do you hope to make coming out tonight, being the first NBA, WNBA player dressed in a Prada?
I think, honestly, like, the biggest thing is like continuing to break down barriers for women. I think like there's so many amazing women in this draft class. There's been so many amazing women to come before us, and like just special breaking barriers in all regards, whether it's a viewership numbers, whether it's attendance numbers, whether it's ticket sales, like things are just changing. And it's because of the amazing people that have come before us. It's because of the amazing talent we have right now. And then you look back even in the college game and the young stars we have there, like the game is in such a really good place.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And talking about breaking barriers, moving forward in beauty and style, any impact that you hope to make, any brands you would love to work with?
I already work with some really good brands. Like Nike is like, I'm a Nike girl through and through. So I'm lucky to work with them. But other than that, like, I feel like just be myself. Like, that's always what I've tried to do.
So I thought that was really, really cool. And again, I think it also goes back to the conversation that we had earlier just about these people are buzzy now. You know, we were able to get them in these really cool outfits with Prada. Some of the other girls also were wearing luxury designers like Veronica Beard. Someone had Bronx and Benko. Someone had Simon Miller, Christian Louboutin. So it's really cool to see, you know, how these players are developing into their own fashion icons in their own right. And she also talked a little bit about, you know, why it's so important to be able to express yourself through clothes and through beauty in a way that maybe they weren't able to prior, or I think they probably were able to, but a way that it wasn't kind of like showcased prior. So it was really cool talking to her.
Yeah. And so it's interesting, like you said, you know, there's a report in The Athletic that Caitlin Clark is nearing a Nike sponsorship deal, but the brand deals with these players go beyond just athletic wear and like on the court sponsorships. They're working with brands like Prada, Louboutin. And, you know, if you look at the men's basketball league, like NBA players have, it's maybe like the most fashionable or fashion adjacent league in the world in terms of the amount of interest and, you know, investment from fashion brands. NBA players have become huge, you know, fashion influencers or icons outside of the court. There's like the walk to the court is often where they get to show off these deals. And I feel like it's only makes sense that the WNBA would have the same kind of thing. There's going to be brand deals on the court with Nike and Under Armour and brands like that. But there's also definitely going to be, it feels like, a lot of interest from fashion brands outside of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we talk about like fashion, we also have to talk about beauty too. And I think when we think about the WNBA, there's so many opportunities for beauty moments, whether it be through hair, which there were a few players who are known for their hairstyles. Her name is escaping me right now, but she is known for wearing these blue and orange braids. And I'm like, that is a beauty opportunity. There are athletes who also get their nails done. They have really cool nails. I know that Angel Reese, she had these really funky acrylic nails. They were like flowers, black and like French, black French manicure flowers. And then again, like makeup too. They can wear makeup on the court if they choose to. So I think this is going to lead way to a lot of really dope and cool beauty opportunities as well. Like obviously last year, Mielle sponsored the WNBA, and then Glossier has also been a sponsor of the WNBA. And we got to speak to the commissioner, and she talked about, you know, just how important it is to finally get these beauty brands in on the opportunity here. You know, as the viewership goes up, there's more opportunities for brands to do collaborations as well.
So yeah, tell me a little bit more about your conversation with Kathy Engelbert, who's the commissioner of the league. Because I think the players, obviously, you know, they're more visible, and Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Edwards, these kinds of people, I think, are going to be the ones who sort of represent the league outwardly to the viewers and to, you know, that those are the ones that the brands are going to want to focus on. But I feel like Kathy Engelbert behind the scenes has done a lot to kind of help what we're talking about, the league and the sport in general, women's basketball, become much more popular and more kind of just present in the public mindset. I don't know, what else did she say to you, or what else did you talk about with her?
Yeah, so it was a really nice surprise to be able to talk with her. And I will give props to Sarah. She saw her and called her out and was like, we need to talk to her. So I just asked about what I talked about earlier about the Mielle and the Glossier partnership and what that means for the beauty opportunity in the WNBA.
Right. It's amazing. It dates back to when I joined the league and we didn't have a beauty brand. And I said, this is like 80% of all the household purchasing decisions on all consumer goods, not just beauty, are made or influenced by a woman. And we've got a league of 80% women of color who love, you know, beauty brands. So then we were able to bring in, during our WNBA bubble, Glossier and now Mielle. And we're just so excited to be in that category.
Absolutely. So what does the future look like in the beauty and WNBA space?
Well, I hope we have more beauty partners step up. I think the future looks bright. I mean, look at these players tonight in the draft. So we're just excited to have them and with the rest of the 144 going strong.
And then lastly, any space for fashion?
Absolutely. We got a big space for fashion. So come on, corporate partners, come on for fashion. We got a lot of space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Women are fundamental in influencing purchases. So it's really important that, you know, we use that opportunity to get women to influence other women and other people to, you know, make purchases. So I thought, again, that was a very interesting piece of information, especially given the historical, you know, context that the WNBA doesn't have a lot of brand partnerships. So I think something that Sarah talked about earlier, when we see this new buzzy opportunity, we have the ease and access to watch the games. We have the access to watch these games. We're now seeing brands are interested in working with either players individually, teams, or the entire WNBA organization in totality.
Okay. Is there anything else that you guys saw there that you want to talk about?
I will say the other interesting thing that I think there is still definitely room for improvement. The big four players, they absolutely had stylists. They had, you know, very clearly they had brands who were sponsoring their outfits. But still, some of the smaller or like lesser known players didn't have those opportunities. We spoke with a lot of players, and whether, you know, actually, we don't really know the background context if they chose to dress themselves or not. But when we spoke to some of the players, they didn't have stylists. They wore a lot of clothes that were either hand-me-downs from their parents, whether that had some type of like hometown or family homage, or they kind of like picked their outfit the day of. So I think that also just speaks to there is more room for opportunity. There's more room for growth and brand opportunities and brand partnerships within these players. And I think it just kind of leads way to more exciting opportunities in the future.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Sarah, what you said about, you know, with NIL deals in place, I think hopefully the players can stay in their careers longer, not be injured or, you know, have other factors that kind of take them out of play, which means they have a longer time to build up you know, a fan base and like a public, you know, an audience, which kind of just all snowballs into the league being more popular, which means the players who are not those exciting top picks also get the same, you know, opportunities. We were talking, I think, before the recording, I don't think we said this yet, but that the minimum salary that an NBA player is, I think, higher than the maximum salary that the WNBA has, or that the highest paid WNBA player. We might want to fact check that, but but I certainly think that, you know, there are many like mid-tier, that sounds disparaging, but players who are not, you know, LeBron James or, you know, mega superstars in the NBA who still have brand deals and shoe deals and all this stuff. And the WNBA, because it's still sort of on the upswing, there's probably much fewer players who get those opportunities. So I'm with you. I hope that there's more growth here. If I sound ignorant of women's basketball, I said this before the recording, I know that I'm also equally ignorant of men's basketball, so it's nothing to do with that. But it is really cool to see how much excitement there is around it. And I'm so excited that you guys got to go and, you know, share some of your experiences. Sarah, I know you're a huge women's sports fan, specifically women's basketball. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing your input as well.
Yeah, I go to a lot of Liberty games. If anybody goes and recognizes my voice, I don't know. say hi to that. Yeah, it's also been cool to sort of see the way that people are talking about this red carpet. I've seen so many TikToks like breaking down the fashion and talking about how this is maybe like the best dressed red carpet we've seen all year. Like, you know, more exciting than the Oscars, more exciting than the Grammys. So going off of that, I'm curious, Tatiana, what was your favorite look of all the people that we talked to?
Ooh, okay, this is tough because I think all of the ladies had such interesting, unique, and distinctive styles. But I will say I was very impressed with Caitlin Clark's look and just the context behind it being the first person to ever be styled by Prada on either the orange or I'm not sure what the NBA's draft carpet color is. And the look was so fly. It was that perfect touch of quiet luxury with some trendiness with the bedazzled and also the kitten heel sling back, which is also really popular right now. And I, of course, was a fan of Angel Reese's too. I just loved the full sheer bedazzled gown look. It was so cute. And the bag, I'm a Simon Miller fan, so I loved the bag too.
My dress is from Bronx and Banco. My bag is Simon Miller and my shoes are Christian Louboutin. I mean, I'm in love with fashion. I announced going to the WNBA in Vogue. So being able to be in the fashion world, but also being a basketball player, you don't have to be one dimensional. You can do both. So I think that kind of gives them a lot of inspiration. That's why a lot of people love me as well.
So those were my top two. And I would also throw in Rickea Jackson's glasses. I believe they were Cartier. So nice.
Yeah, so the glasses. I'm from Detroit. I'm a Detroit girl, so I had to go with the bus. Very popular. Chrome hearts on the glasses, custom made. The fit, you know, my stylist picked the style. Again, she did her big one. The shoes are red bottoms. And the jewelry, my stylist picked it out for me as well. But, yeah.
So what are the conversations that you're having with your stylist as she's picking out or they're picking out the outfit for you?
Oh, I know I stressed her out. I literally cannot make my mind up. It was between this and, like, this other suit. In like 2-3 days, I could not come to outfit. Before that, like, I was going back and forth with all of them. So it was bad. It was bad. I was stressing her out, but like, we finally got to it. But in a good way. Like, it was a good stress out.
Yeah, it was fun to see, because we're so used to seeing all these people in like athletic gear. Like, they just wear uniforms and they're always in like their, you know, just jerseys and shorts. You could tell that some of them were just so excited to be dressed up and be real glammed up. I think my favorite was Nika Mule, who we spoke to, who sort of had this like two-piece black like pencil skirt and blazer, but had a whole bunch of accessories.
The shoes are by Amina Mwadi. The set is Rotate with a twist of Damo on it. I love him, shout out Damo. Glasses are Mugler and Gentle Monster Collab. The bag is Steve Madden. What else we got? We got watches by Rex. We got diamonds by Eli. We got, what else? Oh, grill. Sorry. Yeah, I can't forget the main part. It's Gabby Lan. Shout out, the best ever. I mean, he did this in 5 days. So, yeah, that's it.
I love it. It seems like accessories are really like your thing.
Yes, very much. I like to, you know, be simple around here and then pop on the accessories. And I mean, this is my first time at such a big event. So I really wanted to, you know, go out with the accessories. And I had an amazing support team, amazing people, amazing stylists. So, yeah. Very happy.
A lot of cool accessories. Aaliyah Edwards was also carrying a very cute basketball clutch purse, which felt appropriate.
So true. Yeah, I totally forgot about that grill. I love a nice grill. So I love that accent that she had on as well.
It's cool. It's cool that it's getting more mainstream, like non-sports world coverage. And I think that's like a huge needle shift. And yes, just confirming that the minimum salary for a rookie in the NBA is $950,000.
Wow.
And the maximum salary for a WNBA veteran is roughly $200,000.
Okay. So we were correct in that assumption. Cool. Well, thank you guys for sharing your experience and some of those great interviews. Sarah, I'm just now remembering that you were a big evangelist for the TV show A League of Their Own, which I feel like is funny because I feel like it touches on a lot of the same ideas that we're talking about.
Yeah, it was really good. It got canceled, but it was good. I love the movie, too. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah. I thought about this when you said, if they build it, they will come, which is from another classic baseball movie, sports movie. But okay, that's all the time we have this week. Tatiana, Sarah, thank you guys both so much for being here. And thanks for bringing these great clips with you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
For those of you listening, don't forget to give us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to this. That helps us out so much. And don't forget to subscribe to The Glossy Podcast, because you'll hear interviews with industry insiders every Wednesday and week in review episodes with me every Friday. Until then, thanks for listening.